funny is somebody holds the copyright on that song. Just like there's somebody holds the copyright on Happy Birthday, which is a thing you don't really think about all that much. Two people. So two people to write that friggin' song. Not this. This is probably written by one person. All right, there you go. It's, why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 2 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. Hold on a minute. A little note to myself. Fantastic. If you would like to...
You doing okay?
I'm okay. I'm a little sick. If you'd like to be part of today's program, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. If you would like to call us today with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your two cents, your corrections, or anything else that crosses your human brain, it's 503-733-2970. 970. You can also email us in a binary fashion. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, we got a whole pile, a whole passel, a whole heap, a whole helping of stuff coming up today. We have CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who will be joining us from the Hill, who will not, I repeat, not be talking about the Anna Nicole Smith verdict, even though there is reason to believe. Do we have reason to believe that that will be happening today? Free at last. Free at last, thank God Almighty. There is every possibility that by the end of today, and I know that I've said this like 100 times. Well, how much do you think Don Imus wishes that the Anna Nicole thing to come out like a week ago? Jesus. You talk about, the moral is if you're going to F up somehow, don't do it in a celebrity vacuum. Wait until Britney Spears gets caught, I don't know, piercing something delicate on her body. Said piercing being photographed and splashed all over the internet. If you got to say something hideous, do it right after that. Right after Paris Hilton has given somebody crabs. That's your way to get underneath the radar. In any event, so we made this claim numerous times in the past, but I believe today, the better than even chance, by the end of today's program, we will know who this fight. Does anybody even care about what I'm talking about? Even I'm getting bored as I'm saying it. Even as the sentence is leaving my mouth, I'm getting bored with it.
No, it's going to be good because then we don't ever have to talk about it again.
It's going
to
be good the way that an enema's good, I suppose.
I'm just reading this thing, though. It says that the paternity ruling won't be made public.
Oh, great.
Oh, man.
Fantastic. Well, of course, but we'll know because of who the baby goes with. Baby goes with whatever, right?
That's very simple, but that's true.
I mean, if the baby goes home with Larry Burkhead, unless he's got a gun, then presumably it's his. There you go. Bada bing. Bam. Case closed. Or as George W. Bush would say, bang, 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 down the line. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. So by the end of today's program, the long national buxom nightmare that is Anna Nicole Smith. How weird to think that she was alive like 6 weeks ago. Now dead in the bane of our existence. That'll be done. I'm not going to sully Lisa Goddard's sterling journalistic reputation by asking her to talk about the Anna Nicole Smith. But Lisa will be talking about the... She'll be here today. Apparently, Bush is doing whatever he does. He's vetoing things, which is really all he does. He just kind of sits there like, not unlike an animatronic Easter rabbit made by underfed Ecuadorian slaves. He just sits behind his desk and waits for somebody. He's like a motion-activated animatronic version of a president. You put something down on the desk in front of him, and then Dick Cheney pushes a button, and then George Bush says, I reject this. Freedom, 9/11. Scribbles it, says veto, and then they send it back to the Hill. And then we all go to lunch. Brian Blank is going to be here to talk about Don Imus. Who we will persist in talking about, despite you want to talk about a burn factor that would. I was sick of this story by yesterday morning, and yet here we are. So we'll talk about Don Imus again today for no readily apparent reason. We do like to be team players here at CBS, so we'll do that. What else? CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us here to talk about the sex lives of seventh grade girls. I swear to God. I swear to Holy Christ. That's what he's going to be talking about. I didn't make it up. I didn't request that story. It's simply what I was offered by CNN today. And who am I really, to question the judgment of the cable news network, the nation's premier news gathering and disseminating organization. No one. That's who I am. What else? Today we'll be talking about our good friends Ian Emerson Starship, who are going to be performing at Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. Now just 9 short days away. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, 9 days away, next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. We'll talk more about that in a second, because I was Sarah and I were talking before the show. I had a really surreal experience last night having to do with the party and some of the stuff we're preparing for it, so we'll talk more about that. I will say this. So Emerson Starship, which is the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, they're going to be performing. They're going to do like a full set at the close of the listener party. Not unlike the one they did at Sabala's, which has been almost a year. So they did that last year. We're not going to reveal their set list in advance, but we are going to try to weed out some of the more obvious and overplayed selections later on. So we'll be talking about, because like, who needs to go to a bar and ever hear Roadhouse Blues again? Ever. A whole long list of crap. And that goes for you, too, DJ man in the back booth, Scotty. There's a whole lot. No one needs to hear Boogie Shoes played by some dick with a turntable ever again. So we'll talk about that. We've got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, and this time it's local. And it's not even by Scotty. People tell me I play really good stuff. Uh-huh. Well, too bad you're resistant to letting the people know that. Well, we'll fix your little red wagon here in a few minutes. We have It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard coming up today, and there's a local connection because do we... let me see if I have this over here. This is from... I'm going to grab this off your news file, thanks. I have this here. This is... Let's see. This is from... let's see. This is from... who the hell is this from? Well, I don't know. Everyone needs a new theme song, right? Says this article. How about the city of Portland? Would you like to hear the most embarrassing story? As it turns out, the city that works... When did we get the name the city that works, and what does that even mean? I don't even understand where that comes from.
I don't know, because I thought we had really high unemployment.
Didn't we have the highest unemployment rate in the nation for like 5 years? Does it mean works? Does Portland work? I'm not trying to not... I mean, look, I have Portland pride. You know I do. I'm just saying... I don't understand what that means. That's the first time I've ever really stuck. And could we please, for the love of sweet Jesus, could we please... Sweet Jesus, newly found in a Reynolds household, by the way. Could we please, for the love of sweet God, pick a nickname for the city and just stick with it? Do other cities have this problem with like 100 different nicknames? We got the City of Roses, the city, the Bridgetown, River City, Stumptown, the city that works.
Naked City.
Naked City, really? Do they call it that? Mm-hmm. I thought that was New York.
I'm pretty sure we are because of all the strip clubs. I've heard it called
Naked
City.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. There was almost a Philo T. French with it. Oh, yes. Well, anyway, if somebody knows why they call it the city, that don't spend a lot of time on it. Like, if it's really gonna burn your brain, don't bother calling. But, I mean, if you got a quick answer, I'd like to know. Does this have something to do with the unemployment rate during the Depression? Which is, in turn, I think, the reason why we can't pump our own gas. Well, anyway... As it turns out, this article says, I'd like to warn you now, embarrassing news writing ahead. As it turns out, the city that works could soon be the city that rocks. Commissioner Randy Leonard has found a song he thinks should be the city's official song.
That's a really nice sentence.
Seriously, who wrote this? Written by a gang of retarded monkeys. Randy Leonard has found a song. Really, you think the song should be the city's official song? As opposed to the song being the city's official gumball machine. Who teaches you to write over there? The song is called... Well, I'm not even gonna play the song right now, but let me just tell you, I have heard the song and it's terrible. It's among the worst things ever recorded. I mean, it's recorded very competently.
Is it another rap song?
It's cringe-inducing. It's not as bad. What was that city that had the rap song where it's all like...
Wasn't it for a college?
It was Des Moines. Well, there was that one, too. We've had a whole series of bad rap songs. Anyway, so they've got this song that will not end up being It will not end up being the theme song for Portland because it's terrible. We'll do that. Geek Watch coming up. Darwin Watch and a deaf black lesbian chainsaws up another woman. So that's all coming up today. It's 503-733-2970 plus Scotty J's assembling the top five songs to listen to with the top down. Is that ending a sentence with a preposition? Down is a preposition, isn't it? Down is a preposition, so you can't end a sentence that way. Top five songs to listen to with down. You're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition, but how are you supposed to say it if you're talking about listening with the top down? Top five songs with the top down to listen to. Not because that's still ending with a preposition, which is two. Top five. If you're an English major, I'm not going to spend any more time on this, but if you're an English major, for the love of God, tell me how to say that. Top five songs to which to listen to. No. I'm done. Don't give me that look. I'm done. I'm going to take these calls, then we'll do introductions all around, and then so forth. Hi, Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. I think you could say with a top down on your automobile, but that's not what I called about.
Thank you. For the love of God, thank you for not calling about that.
I think that City That Works thing came from, it was like 8 or 10 years ago. They had one of those like news operation thing deals where like KGW went out and filmed a bunch of city guys sleeping in their truck during the day.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly that appeared on all the city's trucks to kind of up their image.
Really? So it was the City That Works, but it was sort of ironic. Like it was sort of saying it even though it wasn't true, hoping that it would make it. Was this sort of, it was just put there to cheer people up?
No, I think it was, big, you know, if you tell people the same lie enough times, sooner or later they'll believe it.
Yeah, that didn't really work, and it didn't, and by the way, it didn't have any demonstrable or discernible effects, since for most of the last decade we've had the highest unemployment rate in the country.
True, but not at the city, I don't think.
No, there's never unemployment at the city. No, do you work for the city?
No, sir.
Okay, I was going to say, those people are constantly employed.
I'm unemployed.
Well,
I got to go.
Okay, yeah, you got to go. You got things to do, I'm sure.
I'm looking for jobs.
Uh-huh. How's that working out for you?
Still looking.
All right, no, enjoy your time off. No one ever believes me when I say that, but enjoy your unemployed time. You'll miss it when it's gone.
Well, okay.
Thank you. All right, he doesn't believe it. It's a thing you can never appreciate when it's happening. Hello. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up. Well, hey, he's right on that City That Works.
All right, but that was funny, what you did just now.
he's right. That was Vera.
And so it was just some sort of a cosmetic, it was like a Flint,
exactly.
Michigan, you'll love our new spark kind of a thing. It was a slogan they came up with just to try to make us feel better.
Yeah, for like 3 days in a row, the news caught like 6 or 8 different crews sleeping for a couple of hours at a time. And so Vera says, no, really, really, we're the city that works. And so she made them paint it on all the trucks.
Oh, I didn't catch that it was like city crews that were caught sleeping on the job. I thought they were talking about like homeless guys laying around.
No, the city crews, they went out and filmed them all sleeping in their trucks and having lunches.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful, really.
And so Vera says, oh, no, we're the city that works, and she made them paint it on all the trucks.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that gave them something to do for at least a day.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
If you'd like to make a call.
Yes?
Please hang up.
And done and done. All right, 503-733-2970. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, those guys are full of crap. Right, those are maintenance trucks. Like, they fix things. It's the city that works. Like, if it's broken, the maintenance truck shows up, and then they fix it, so it's the city that works.
We all know that that's not true. We all know that if something's broken, the city isn't necessarily there to fix it.
That's what they're trying to portray to you. We are the city that works. Everything here works. Nothing's broken.
I can already sense, this is going to be one of those things that we never get an answer to. No one's ever going to...
You don't worry about it. It ends right there. I'm right. Everybody else in the city of Portland is wrong. Especially the unemployed guy.
Seriously, what does an unemployed guy know about this?
If the unemployed guy was right, he'd be working right now.
Oh! That ain't right.
I'm kidding. Don't take that personal.
No, of course. How could he possibly take it personally?
Every time I call you, I try to end my call with a wah, 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 wah. Never works.
Are you going to try it again?
I am not the jokester that works.
Was that a joke? I'm unclear about where the humor is now.
Every time I call you, I try to be just funny enough to get that sound effect. It never works. So on the side of my truck, it does not say the phone caller that works.
Okay, that's not funny either.
No, I know. It's nothing worse.
All right, thank you. Better luck next time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented. You look just like your sister today. It's kind of freaking me out.
I'm just writing to her right now.
Really? Sarah mm-hmm. Dillon looks just like her sister at this moment. It wasn't until you put on a sweatshirt. You put on a sweatshirt, and then it's because your style of dress is so distinctive. Much different than Heather's. You put on that sweatshirt, and now you look just like your sister. It's kind of weirded me out a little bit.
Huh.
All right.
Yeah, she has told me today that she thinks she's going to move to New York.
Is she going
to
be, will she be here for the listener party? I didn't think that she would be, but I had to ask.
No, I wish, but...
Well, what could
you do? No, she's way over there, and I'm over here.
All right, well...
That's how it goes.
We'll all play through the pain.
Yeah.
Hey, is all your stuff moved out yet?
No.
All right. When are you going to do that, do you suppose?
I don't know.
How long have you been in the new apartment? Like 10 days? A week? 2 weeks?
Like a week. Well, see, the thing is that I had to pay my last month's rent and then my security deposit, I haven't done any damage to the room, so my security deposit basically covers everything except for like $100.
Something you'd like to share with the group? The best part is that
I don't know who's listening. That's
you tell these stories about 3 feet away from Tim, who is himself a landlord, a leaser of property.
No, the thing that bothers me is that, you know, I was never allowed to leave anything out in the living room, and now there's a big pile of my crap in the middle of the living room, including like a spare tire and like
a garbage
bag full of stuff.
I'm telling you, Tim has evicted people like you time and time again.
But I already gave my 30 days notice, and I paid, so all I'm saying is that, you know...
I can treat this place however I want.
Maybe I'm getting phone...
I can set fire to things if I like.
Maybe I'm getting phone calls from Manuel asking when I'm going to get the rest of my stuff. But gosh darn it, if it isn't worth $100 of my own money just to know it's driving him crazy.
Nah, that's the spirit. All right, there you go.
Does that make me a bad person?
It's hard to believe that it doesn't work out with you having roommates. It's...
You know...
It seems so easy to get along with.
Rick, you know what I've gone through.
I'm leaving this here. I'm never moving it. I know. No, I understand
that. You
know
all the crap I've put
up with. I also know, though, that when you moved in with that guy, I told you that it wasn't going to work out.
I know.
Because I told you you shouldn't... I told you that the last 3 times you moved in with somebody.
I paid all the way till the end of the month. I'm really in no rush to, you know, collect all the rest of my crap.
Just leave that tire in the middle of his living room.
Right. And I locked... Well, plus, it's still my room, so my door's locked to my room with some, I need to vacuum it and stuff, so.
All right. I'm not saying I told you so. I'm just saying that as I've noted, you are not meant to live with people. You're meant to live a life of solitude, and no. You're meant to be alone, Sarah. You're meant to be isolated from others of your kind.
See, you're projecting.
I'm not projecting. You know it's true.
You
the
live
evidence
with somebody.
Indicates. Yes, and that, you know, that works well sometimes. It works well, but I will tell you that I went through, I had many, 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 many bad experiences of living with people, in all kinds of settings, not just girls, but roommates, whatever. I learned that it's really the exception for me to be able to live with somebody and not go mental.
See, I didn't have any problems living with people in college.
All the time.
No, you totally project, because I don't have the weird problems that you have.
In college, you're just drunk and staying out all night, and it's like a state of, it's not, the, I know it's a cliche, but it's not the real world, and it's a state of suspended animation because it's like living in a biodome.
Are we seriously sitting here arguing whether or not you think I'm going to be destined to walk the earth alone for the rest of my life?
It's not an argument. I know this is the case. And in your more lucid moments, you agree with me sometimes. On your less emotional days, you agree that I'm just saying some people are meant to. Some people function well with lots of personal private space. You strike me as one of those people. That's all I'm saying.
I love my apartment.
I'm not trying to say anything about anything.
No,
I'm just
you're
saying,
trying to be mean.
I'm not trying to be... How am I being mean? I'm just saying you don't function well with roommates.
Because you're saying that just because I'm trying to spite Manuel by leaving a big pile of my garbage in the middle of his living room...
Listen to that sentence! All I'm doing is leaving a tire and a bunch of swill sitting in a bunch of his apartment for weeks on end. What's so wrong?
Well, that guy...
Do you listen to the things that you say sometimes?
I'm just saying that, you know, I wasn't able to even leave, a T-shirt out in the living room without having it piled in front of my door.
So now, in retribution, you leave a tire in the middle of his living room. I mean, seriously, are you listening to yourself?
He's such a clean freak that I know I've had a few phone calls.
How dare he?
So when are you going to come and get the rest of your stuff there?
So his punishment for trying to be clean is that you leave a tire in the middle of his living room in a place where you're no longer living. Yes, I'm blowing this all. I'm painting this in wildly inaccurate colors.
I'm paying rent.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
The planned pantry robbers found hiding under a staircase in Northeast. A reward is being offered for Gabby, the cowboy mannequin stolen from the Hood River Charbur. Chinese television has a 40-part series in the making on the life of Bruce Lee. And everyone in the world is lining up to get an apology from Don Imus. Have you asked for yours yet?
Fantastic. Excellent. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The thing is, in my head, in Manuel's living room, the tire is on fire and it's covered in cockroaches.
Because it wasn't, you know, it's not just a clean thing. It was a me thing. Like, him and my other roommate, Ben, could leave their crap everywhere. But if I set one thing out there, it was them ganging up against me. That's all.
All I'm saying is, you are, and this is, I know, a cultural reference too old for you, but you are Melanie Myron from 30-something. That's all I'm saying. And 30-something fans in the house, or his house, as Kyle used to say, will know that I'm right. The character, I think her name was Melissa, but Melanie Myron's character. You are that. You are, here's what, and I don't say this, I'm just saying, to be cruel, I'm simply saying.
Oh, here we go.
Do you love it when I say things like that? Sarah, I don't say this to be mean. No, I'm just saying, I can roll forward whatever the time lapse film in my head, and I can picture what you're gonna look like at about 45. That's all I'm saying. Well, yeah. But I'm saying you're like 45. You dress in a slightly more toned down version of the way you do now. Still lots of big chunky jewelry, hair like 9 different colors. Like running a small art gallery on the side.
No cats.
And then visiting Heather's children. Visiting your nieces and nephews, who all love you because you don't have a single maternal bone in your body. All love you and flock to you because there's nothing remotely mom-like about you. And then you go back home and you drink martinis with lots of gay men in your apartment and then you pass out. That's it.
That doesn't sound so bad.
See, that's what I'm saying. But I'm seeing it's not a bad thing. In none of these scenarios are you married, maybe divorced. In none of these scenarios are you married. In none of these scenarios do you happily cohabitate with anything that's not an animal. That's all I'm saying. It's 503, which is fine. You know? That's all I'm saying. Look.
You don't think I'll ever
We're at
Well, I guess my past relationships, dude, things don't really work out for me.
I'm saying there's a track record. And no, look, and I'm the first to admit, were it not for Lara, that's the life I would be living. Except for the, you know, for the martinis. I would just be sitting there taking Vicodin. Were it not for my wife, look, because when the last time, before Lara, I didn't, you know, I was like, screw this. I'm never living with anybody again. Ever, 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 ever. Because it had just gone so badly. So I had resigned myself to that life. So it's fine. You are much the same as me in that regard. So that's why I know these things. Now I have no time to get to this this photos thing. This
good thing you had time to analyze my life.
That's what I do. Well, think of all the therapy I just saved you.
I don't need...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, finish that statement.
Okay.
I dare you. I dare you to say that
no,
out loud.
No, because then it just made me start thinking about your therapist. Now you haven't mentioned it, and now you're getting a little wacky lately. Are you still seeing him?
I don't want to talk about it.
You and I are just mean to each other today. Let's stop.
You think?
Let's stop this now.
I'm fine. Let's see here. What are we doing here? This is, let's see. Should we get calls about the city that works or calls about Sarah? Let's flip a coin, shall we? I don't have a coin. Let's take calls about Sarah. Hi, Scott. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. How's it going today, buddy?
What's up?
Hey, Sarah's a hottie, and she's got a cute laugh, and if she ever decides, you know, she wants to hook up, she'll find somebody. They just got to realize she's, you know, the profession she's got, you know, she doesn't have much time for relationship, but if she put the word out, she'd have them lining up.
Is this an offer, sir?
No, I'm married, but still, she's a hottie.
What if your wife was okay with it?
Well, that'd be kind of fun.
I mean, we do live in a very progressive town. Polyamory is all the rage with the kids.
It is a new millennium, right?
It is. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day, man.
You can be like one of those couples on Real Sex where you marry both of them. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
No, Sarah was just talking about leaving things behind at the house. Uh-huh. And this is just like, I didn't intentionally do this.
Uh-huh.
So years ago, I was living in Eugene, and these vegans moved into the house. Okay, that's great. Fine. No problem. I was a meat eater. Became an issue. Eventually, I moved out. So The thing is that I was moving stuff out of the house, and a friend of mine was a pig farmer, and I'd get him stuff for his pigs to eat, and so he'd give me all this pork and sausage and everything like that. It was in the freezer. I'm moving all my stuff out of the house, and they were like, they didn't even want meat in the same anywhere, you
right,
know?
Right.
And I swear, it was summer, it was probably 90 degrees, I was grabbing things, moving things out, and the very last thing, you know, like when you forget something, you know, you're out in the car, you think you got it all, I left this thing of frozen pork sitting on top of the cutting table in the kitchen.
In the 80 degree heat.
And I just never went back for it. I didn't think about it until 2 or 3 days later. No, it's not a tire.
No, it's not, but it is made of pork. It is made of ham, so you get extra points for that.
Yeah, you know, Lord knows what else, you know, the summertime was doing to it. I mean, it was probably there for 2 days before they came home and found it.
Good for you, sir. Thank you.
Have a good day.
That's John. All right. Real quickly, we'll get these. Paul, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, this is Paul from the legendary erotic club near your house, which we will not mention.
Oh, I know. The landmark, no matter how much I try to tell people I used to live by Safeway. Yeah.
Hey, any small business owner, buddy, will tell you it's not the city that works. It's the city that works against you.
Wait, hold on. That's not even really. I need like a rim shot or something there. I don't have anything. All right. No, I got nothing. I don't know. I just can't figure out. I just want somebody to give me the definitive answer on where the phrase came from. That's all I want.
Vera Katz, and the guy was right. Vera Katz, in response to an undercover news story finding city employees sleeping on the side
and
street.
And she decided the slogan was the cure to the ills.
Typical Vera Katz.
Do you find that Vera Katz looks a lot like Barry Manilow?
You know, I have more respect for Barry than that.
That's true. He does write the songs. All right. Yeah. Thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. That's Paul, presumably from the Ace of Hearts, which is exactly where I used to live by. Fine, are you happy? Bunch of jackals. All right. One more. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick, I got two things. Number one, the city that works has nothing to do with people sleeping in their trucks. The city that works is Portland's Hands Across America. Everybody of all stripes comes together and makes the city work, and, love everybody. And,
I can tell from your tone that you believe that, too.
No, I go along with the city that doesn't work myself. Anyway, we don't know the real Sarah. Would you consider Sarah high maintenance?
I'm not having. No.
Maybe that's your problem.
Because
you don't know when the good Sarah or the evil Sarah will show up.
She'll
be alone.
You're not going to get me to answer any question even remotely approaching that.
Well,
You're not going to get me to answer questions about. No.
Your denial to answer the question answers the question.
No, that's not true.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true.
That's not true. But it's like if you called up and you said, "Look, what if this? What if somebody called up and somebody said." Sarah's rolling her eyes at me. It's not that. It's what if somebody called up and said, "Well, Rick, I mean, you know, looking over at Sarah, what would you guess her weight to be?" But there's no way. I would never open my mouth to answer, because no matter what I say, I'm screwed. If somebody, it's not just Sarah, any woman, you know, if somebody said, you know, whoever, you know, pick another woman who works in the building, Susan Reynolds. Somebody said, "Hey, well, how much would you guess that she weighs?" Like, I'm ever going to answer that? There's no, in no way is an answer to that going to come out of my mouth.
But just from what we get over the radio, which is, might be true or might not true, it's the type of thing, if you're dating at the time, you're not quite sure who's going to answer the phone.
All right, well, here's
when you call.
If you really want to know the answer, to this. If you really want me to be honest.
Oh, I really do, yes.
All right. If you really want me to be honest.
Well, of course.
I would say that Sarah is not high maintenance. I would say it's quite the opposite. I would say that Sarah, probably her lack of needed maintenance probably throws a lot of guys off. That would be my...
Are you saying that to cover yourself?
It's true. Now, listen to me. You have to believe me on this, because I've known Sarah for like... We were saying this morning. We've worked for half a decade now.
Yeah,
we've been
5 years.
In a small little room with each other. I know women who are high maintenance. And I will not name who they are. But I do know women who are high maintenance. And Sarah's not high maintenance. Now, Sarah, like anybody, male or female, although it might be more of a female thing, Sarah does have And I'm not trying to make like period jokes or whatever. Sarah, like everybody, has times she goes through where she probably does require more maintenance than other times. But everybody does that. I'm sure that I do that. Yes, my wife, she probably would say that I go through periods of time where I just need to be taken care of like I'm a 5-year-old because I'm just incapable of doing anything.
Well, it just sounds that there are many Sarahs inside that body, and that you'd never quite be sure which one you'd be getting. The drinking, hostile Sarah, the happy gay Sarah, you just never know.
Well, I would say that along
you're
with that, though...
You're assuming a lot from just hearing my voice on the radio.
Well, that's what I said. You guys have talked about it, and I don't... All we're getting is the Sarah we know on the radio.
No. I would say, to be brutally and totally frank about it, I would say that Sarah's probably less high maintenance. That's not the right way to put it, because it still does, but you know what I'm saying. Requires less maintenance, for whatever that term means, than most of the women I know, but I would say that probably throws a lot of guys off, because with that comes a sort of independent streak that can kind of come off as bitchiness to people.
Okay. Well, I'm looking for the next future ex-wife, so, I'll leave her my number and she can call me.
All right, we're losing your call. Thank you. Jesus. Is that Lisa Goddard?
Good Lord.
What time is it?
It's 11:33. Yeah, it's Lisa.
Should we just talk to Lisa?
Yeah.
All right. I saw you roll your eyes, so I knew I had to answer.
And I know what you want to say, but you're not saying.
What? Oh, what? That you picked the wrong men? by definition, I mean, everybody... I don't even know that that's necessarily always a fair statement because, that's probably true in some cases. I don't mean to sit here and make it like we're having our shrink session or whatever. That's another thing that I can kind of paint with a broad brush sometimes, but I don't necessarily think it's true. That's like saying that, okay, well, I was with X number, I dated X number of women from the time I was like 15 until I got married. And so by dint of the fact that I married Lara, all of the other girls were the wrong girl. I don't necessarily know that that's true. Sometimes there's different... I don't mean to sound all lovey-dovey and hippie-trippy, but I mean there's different people for different times in your life. I think you've been with some guys, or just since I've known you, you've dated, some guys that I thought were great. Guys that I thought were cool. Dated some other guys that probably were not the right choice for you. I don't think you're high maintenance. I think you have moments where you're high maintenance, but I think everybody has moments where they're high maintenance. And I'm not saying this to be like...
I'm definitely a little wacky.
That's the thing. It's not that. Yeah, it's just that you're really aggressive and you have a really forceful personality, and I think a lot of guys have difficulty with that. Look, let me just... And I'm not saying this to, like, because I have to be in the same room with you. I know women who are high maintenance. I really do. And so that's... You do not fall into that category. All right. Well,
where did that even come from?
It's like 35 minutes after the hour. What have we gotten done? Nothing. Nothing? All right, well, let's try to get something done. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Hi, Lisa. How you doing? Oh, I guess I have to pick up the phone. I'm sorry. Hello?
Oh, no. Hello.
Hi there. I think you might have blown a joke there. I didn't have the phone picked up.
Oh, it's all good.
What were you? What was your observation?
I was just saying, I don't think either of you guys are high maintenance.
Oh, I'm completely high maintenance.
Really?
I picture
you. You just ate a bag of popcorn and a TV.
So basically, you picture me as like a Homer Simpson-esque guy wearing an ass groove in the couch.
Well, you know, that image comes from sort of how you propose to your wife.
Which is sitting on the sofa going, well, do you want to get married or something?
See, yeah. Right, that does not say high maintenance to me for either of you.
It's not that I'm high maintenance. Here's the thing. And I don't want to sit and drag you into our...
I know, and I'm tracking everybody down,
hit
right?
Of insanity. Well, it's just that this entire show is just like one low-grade like self-help session sometimes. Like we're a bunch of people sitting in a church basement on folding chairs drinking bad Folgers coffee and talking about our higher power. So I'm not... My thing is... I don't think I'm high maintenance as such, except I do believe this, that for someone to be in a relationship with me, for someone to be in a long-term successful relationship with me, it's not that they have to, that I'm high maintenance in the traditional way, in that I have to have lots of attention paid to me, or that I'm very demanding about specific things. It's just that, like, there's there's big sections of time that may seem random from the outside. There's big swaths of time where I just want to do nothing, talk to no one, and be left alone with my thoughts, and I don't want to interact with anybody.
Right.
That's the thing, and maybe that comes off as me being a jerk or an a-hole or whatever, but there's a lot of times when I just want to be left the hell alone, and I don't want to talk to anybody, and the contact I have with people should be as minimal as possible to avoid unpleasantness on all fronts. And I think Sarah's probably very much the same way. Sarah's very social. Sarah's very outgoing. The image of her is very much as a person who's kind of out on the town and has a nightlife and loves to go out and drink and see shows, and that's fine. But there's a lot of times, I suspect, where if you were to go over to Sarah's house, she's in her bedroom, door shut, locked, watching Titanic in her pajamas with her dog on her lap, speaking to no one all day long. And that's kind of my thing. So you just got to be able to, if you're going to be in a relationship with me, you got to accept the fact there's going to be long stretches of time where I don't do or say anything funny and where I barely speak to you.
With the shutdown, right? The that's shutdown button always right there.
That's totally what it is. That's exactly what it is. There's times where I'm just really, you would have to do like an electroencephalograph on me to actually see that I had a functioning brainstem. So there you go.
And even then, yes.
So aren't you glad you asked?
I am so glad I asked.
All right. So, in any event, I will say just my final observation on this before we talk about the news, and this is really directed to the guy who called. This all started, you missed this, a guy, we were talking about Sarah having just like this sort of failed attempt to live with some people a while back, and now she's moving out and she's on her own again.
And I am going, I'm not just leaving my stuff there. I'm going to get it, but I'm leaving it there for a little while.
I believe you. So a guy called up and asked if Sarah was high maintenance. And I will say that the one good thing about, not the one good thing about Sarah, but one really great thing about Sarah is Sarah has no girly, like, princess vibe about her, which is that's the thing that guys hate. When guys say high maintenance,
that's exactly what I think they mostly mean, yeah.
Yeah, and we could do a whole discussion about this later that doesn't embarrass you and sully your journalistic credentials. So we'll maybe do it when you're not on the phone. But I think when guys talk about a woman being high maintenance, they mean some prissy, girly, she walks into the room dressed in pink, and in your head you hear like a music box dancer playing on an actual music box kind of girl. That is really, really, really...
And demanding.
Yeah, and just
more demanding.
And again, just really, and I don't know any other way to put it than to say that sort of the princess vibe, and I don't even really know what I mean by that, but I think guys know what I mean when I say that.
Oh, yeah, I think a lot of girls know what you mean, too, sure.
They're all like Dexter's sister on Dexter's Laboratory. They're all like Dee Dee. All right, anyway, let's take a moment. We're going to reset.
All right.
Going to take a little moment of zen here, as Jon Stewart would say. We're going to... Just take a second to clear my thoughts.
No popcorn, Ben.
Oh, wait, let me clear my thoughts. Hold on. All right. Let's talk about George W. Bush, you and I.
Right.
He doesn't really do anything anymore. He just vetoes stuff. He's become that's his job. He's a full-time vetoer now, right?
Yesterday he did have the big immigration speech in Arizona. He's still trying to get immigration reform through. So that's if you want to use the Washington word, that would be his proactive thing that he's doing. But otherwise, the veto threat is a prominent part of his life ever since Democrats took over Congress, yes.
And so he's going to be, right now he's threatening to veto what, stem cell research? This really, let's talk about the stem cell research thing for a second, because he's saying if it comes across his desk, he's going to get out the big no stamp and get rid of it. But that really, even within his own party, puts him in the minority, because I mean, even unless you're just some hardcore nutcase zealot from Kansas, I mean, even most Republicans are in favor of stem cell research on some level, aren't they?
Many Republicans are. It actually splits the Republican Party. I'm not sure that there is a clear majority in the party one way or another, because it splits the social conservatives from more or less the fiscal conservatives or the business interests in the party. And those are two very large parts of the party. So it's a tough issue for Republicans, but President Bush... certainly more with the social conservatives on this. And he said that he will veto the stem cell research bill that was passed by the House and will probably pass the Senate. The question is how many votes, will it get enough votes to override a veto? Republicans have a different version. The whole issue is, should federal funds be allowed to go towards stem cell research? And the president so far has not allowed them, and this bill would change that. but they need 67 votes to override the veto, and that's going to be tough to get in the Senate.
It's so strange because you you hear a lot of sort of rumblings from the conservative, the extreme conservative right, the sort of Christian, the hardcore Christian base, the James Dobsons of the world, where they feel that Bush has abandoned them, and they feel that once he got into office, he quit caring about the evangelical movement. And then by the same token, you know, he's in office losing political capital on things like by vetoing things and opposing things that the majority of Americans really. I guess what I'm saying is I can't for the life of me get a fix on whether he actually does have principles that he sticks to or whether he just blows with the conservative wind of the day. I really don't know. Because you always hear, well, I disagree with George Bush, but I always know where he stands. And sometimes I agree with that and sometimes I don't.
Motivation is tough to pick out of any politician anywhere. This president is particularly difficult. You know, he gave a speech earlier today about Iraq because there's this showdown with the Congress over Iraq spending money right now. It was fascinating. The first maybe 20 minutes of that speech could have been given 3 years ago. He was talking again about Saddam Hussein, talking about how great it is that he's not in power, talking about how important it is to overthrow that power, talking about, you know, America's going to be under attack. If we don't fight them there, they'll fight us here. These are all things he said so many times. And what was amazing to me listening to this is here's a president who is still in the fight of his life over this Iraq money. This is a very big battle. But he's using the same arguments that clearly the American people have heard and I think considered and rejected in the last election. And so it's amazing to me. Clearly he needs some new writers, or he really believes it. And again, he brought up September 11th. It was the first thing he mentioned in a speech about Iraq.
Right.
And, you know, that to me says, geez, you know, are you not reading the paper? People really, I think most people get that September 11th was not connected to Iraq, but here you are bringing this up in the same speech, that same context. I think he does. I think he may still believe that they were connected, or at least in his mind, there's some sort of, they're all in the same ball of wax kind of thing, and he is not letting go of that idea. I think he sticks to it. The question is motivation. Why does he stick to these beliefs? But he does.
He only knows what Dick Cheney whispers to him over a shrub.
Right. Or signals him from the garden.
Whispers to him through a hedge. All right. Well, hang on.
The thing to watch, there's other veto threats. Of course, he's threatened to veto this Iraq spending bill that has the timelines for withdrawal, but he's also threatened to veto a bill that would allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices. And that is now, that is going to be the next bill after this stem cell research bill and the AARP.
What would his motivation for that possibly be?
Drug companies don't like the idea.
See, that's what I'm saying. You can't, here's the thing, you start screwing with old people, they'll screw you right back. I mean, I meant that when I said that last week. It's not that old people themselves are mean, although they mostly are. And I look forward to being old just so I can become a horrible person. But yeah, the AARP and those the old people in this country, that's a big gray panther group. You don't want to screw with them. I mean, they have a powerful, powerful voice in the government.
Republican group, too. Yeah, you've got a lot of veterans there. You've got a lot. It's a huge group. You know, to be fair to the president, he would say, and those who oppose this bill would say, they think this is too much government intervention. They think Medicare would end up trying to fix prices at an improperly low level that would squeeze out drug makers, and they would pull their drugs from the program altogether. Now, AARP says that is not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about very specific drugs that are overpriced, that are priced much higher for Medicare than, for example, the Veterans Administration, which does have negotiating power. So the arguments are definitely in two different areas, but there's no question the pharmaceutical lobby is the largest lobby in Washington. They spend tens of millions of dollars each year, and they've spent that much on this issue, and they're fighting tooth and nail so that Medicare will not have this power. In the end, I think there's a chance that Congress may pass the ability allowing Medicare to do this. Maybe the president will sign it, but the fact is he would never have his Medicare administration actually use that power. They'd have to wait till a new president.
There really are people in this world that are just terrible. That's really the bottom line here.
Well, I don't know. All man is conflicted.
Okay. We can discuss self-actualization next time. All right. Well,
not to excuse politicians. Politicians have, are on the lower end, I think, in by and large.
I wasn't even talking about politicians. I was just talking about drug lobbyists. Oh, that's okay. Really, I'm just saying.
It's amazing how much money is involved. I mean, it's tens and tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, no, I'm just, and again, as I realize as a journalist for CNN, you cannot weigh in on observations like this. I'm just saying that there is a special circle of hell waiting for some of those people. In my estimation, really.
It's eternal damnation. That's all I'm saying.
In the eighth circle, right there with the child molesters and the guy who invented aluminum siding, right there is going to be a drug company lobbyist. That's the only point I'm making.
Right. I hear
you. All right, I'm going to put you back on hold here. We thank you so much, Lisa. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
All right, thank you. It's 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. All right, let's see what else do we have here. Rick, these emails. Have we taken a break? God damn.
We haven't taken a break. Well, this is going to be, we should probably break. This is going to be a little longer.
Say that.
Actually, no, it's not because I got rid of the promo. Never mind.
It'll be a normal length break. It won't be at all a long break.
Oh, it's regular.
All right, we should take a break and we'll come back and
read
some emails about the relative height of our maintenance. Let's see. And then we got this horrible Portland song, the new news. We never did talk to Scotty today about the listener party. I got this thing about Emerson Starship and the set list. It's at the Brian Blank later. All right. We'll take a break here. It's 503-733.